This is the SKG Radiology official NBL One West radio show.
Welcome along. It is the NBL One West radio show. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. Another exciting week in the NBL One West.
Yeah, basketball is very much on the front of everyone's mind. We've got the NBA Finals coming to its penultimate couple of games. The Boomers are on TV. The Opals are doing well. And we're into the business end of the season at NBL One West.
Look, a weekend that saw a lot of games go according to ladder positions, but there was a share of upsets in there as well.
Very much being determined by who's available at this time of the year, and a couple of additions to teams making some big impacts, and a few outs at this time of the year also affecting the results.
In this week's show, we'll chat with Fleur McIntyre, a favourite friend of the show who's also had some big news come to the fore on social media and around the traps during the last week or so.
Yeah, absolutely amazing for Fleur, and also a sign of some really good things happening in the West. We've got now two or three coaches on NBL coaching staffs, and of course Adam Ford is a head coach, all having cut their teeth in the old SBL / NBL One.
Why don't we launch right in with some results from the weekend on the women's side of life, at least anyway?
Yeah, first game of the weekend was the Southwest Slammers taking on the Coburn Cougars. Cougars far too strong in this one, getting up 94-38.
Yeah, really low score for the Slammers, and they were only able to get 10 second half points at all. And I don't know if they're setting a record with that as an all-time low, just 38 points. Meanwhile, for the Cougars, 25 from Taylor Simmons and 15 points from Jesse Edwards showed them to be far too strong.
Friday night continued with the Lakeside Lightning taking on the Perry Lakes Hawks. The Hawks getting the win in this one, 89-72.
Look, both teams would have been backing themselves to try and crack a win in this one. The Vigs for Perry Lakes probably proving too much and firing on all cylinders in this one. McKay with 21-9, Burton with 15. Mia Sadie continued her good form with another 19-point outing, and 4 out of 7 threes for Millie McCarthy was also an outstanding effort for the Hawks.
Friday night continued with the East Perth Eagles heading up the hill to take on the Eastern Suns, and the Eagles coming away the victors in this one, 72-60.
Now, I don't know whether you know anything, but no Sam Roscoe on the box score for the Suns.
Yeah, noticed that. Arrived to watch the game and saw her in street clothes, so was unsure of what the reason was, but yeah, definitely a big hole to fill for the young Suns.
Ironmonger, Jacobs and Williams all in double figures for the Suns in the absence of Roscoe, but it was Goulding's stat line, which anyone would be impressed with. 35 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists and 4 steals for Mary Goulding, East Perth Eagles.
Saturday continued, the Perth Redbacks 84, defeating the Lakeside Lightning 62.
It was a tough double loss weekend for the Lakeside women. Despite 18 points and 17 rebounds from Eisenbarger to back up from her 21-9 in the previous game, it was Dyer, 20 points and 14 rebounds. I may not have expected that rebound line from Mac Dyer, but Maddie Allen, 6 points and 17 rebounds. We'll certainly expect that from her. And also Bri Bailey, 21 points, including 7 of 17 from the Land of Plenty. She was not shy at all in that game.
Not at all. And Mac Dyer definitely on the red Powerades again in that game. The Joondalup women continued their good form, 94, defeating the Warwick Senators, 85.
Yeah, look, this is the 2021 debut of Jasmine Martin, who some people may remember playing for the Wolves back in 2019. Look, she's obviously easing her way in. She didn't score in just 10 minutes of playing time, but she did get a couple of rebounds, a couple of assists, sort of feeling her way. It was Steindl's 30 points and 11 rebounds that was probably the big one for the Wolves. There was 12 for Parker Williams, Jucic and Benson. For the Senators, Barr, 28 points, another outstanding solo effort from her, but not enough to get them over the Wolves.
Saturday night continued with the Mandurah Magic playing host to the Willetton Tigers. Unfortunately, this one, the Magic going down 55-74.
Yeah, there was just 6 fixtures in the women's round, which was a little bit unusual considering how jam-packed most of the forthcoming rounds are. The Evergreen Milo had 14, along with Bogue, 14 as well for the Magic. But it was not enough with the usual suspects for Willetton, including Sharp, 22-12, Gardini with 18 points on 4 of 5 threes. And a slightly lower game from Lubke from what we've come to expect from her, 12 points. Her shooting may maybe a little bit off in this game on 3 of 10, but they were certainly able to get the win, the Willetton Tigers there, 74-55. We'll perhaps take a quick break here on the NBL One West Radio Show. We'll be back to look at men's fixtures from the weekend. We're not far away for talking to Coburn Cougars legend Fleur McIntyre, soon to be assistant coach at the Sydney Kings.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
Welcome back, NBL One West Radio Show. All your local basketball action. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. As we take a look now at the weekend that was round 14 for the men. Started on Friday night with the Cougars getting up over the Southwest Slammers. 90 points to 73 for the Cougars.
And the Cougars starting to find some mid-season, late-season form. Gavin Field starting to hit his straps, and Nick Posoglu looks like he's firing and getting some good support from those young kids. So it's a long season, as you said, and the Cougars are now making a real push for that top eight.
The human highlight film, Posoglu, is always appearing in the highlights and on the Instagram.
Yep, and this week it was Josh Hunt with a massive dunk.
Ooh, yes.
in the Goldfields game. So, yep, they've certainly got some high flyers down there.
On the Friday night as well, the Lakeside Lightning in that top-of-the-table clash, getting up over the Perry Lakes Hawks. It was close right until the death knoll.
As we predicted, the Lightning very good at home, and having all their key players back makes such a difference. And again, they fleeted with top spot after this victory, and I'm sure the Hawks will be looking to get some type of retribution should they meet later in the year.
The last of the Friday night fixtures saw the East Perth Eagles getting up over the Eastern Suns 82-76. It was a bit of a homecoming and a big outing for Lee Roberts.
Yeah, Lee turned back the clock and gave a sort of a vintage double-double performance, but for us, it was just too much Kieran Berry. He walked over to the bench at one stage and asked me if I was comfortable with the person that we had guarding him, and I said yes, and he proceeded to hit a three on his head. So he's flying high at the moment and playing very well, and our guys just a little bit short-handed on the night, even though we did fight it out. We did have a chance at the end there with a couple of shots to maybe tie or get it back a bit closer, but the East Perth Eagles, very well done on the night.
The Lakeside Lightning, after that big win against the Hawks on the Friday night, going down to the surging Perth Redbacks 89-77, but the Lightning a little undermanned in this outing.
Yeah, four guys out for the Lightning, four key starters out. Jared Prue is that guy that gives them those second bites at the cherry, and Gatorna and Tim's proving too much there, and Marshall Nelson as well delivering. So the Lakeside Lightning stumbling in this one, but would be looking to get those guys back and back on the pine as quick as they can.
Speaking to Robbie Kassir at Bendat on Saturday, they were very happy to have the Southwest Slammers coming into Bendat to wipe the slate clean from that Lakeside loss very, very quickly. The Hawks getting up 95-69 in that one.
Yeah, nothing like winning form in the Hawks, taking back top spot from the Lightning. As we said, who fleeted with it for a night. But then I think, as we were all predicting, Perry Lakes looking to hold on to that and continue that run to a title.
The Joondalup Wolves going down to the visiting Warwick Senators at home. The final score there, 90-77.
And the Wolves on a slide that they perhaps aren't enjoying. Long time since they've sat in eighth position on the ladder. And to lose the Battle of Joondalup, as they do like to promote that one to Warwick, wouldn't be something that would be sitting very well with the boys up there and the Senators getting back in the win column.
probably the biggest surprise of the round, and I guess I'm going to call it an upset, simply because the Geraldton Buccaneers are so undermanned at the moment with all of their injury outs. But they managed to come down and beat the East Perth Eagles at home, 75-72.
Yeah, Lee Roberts again, good in this one for the Eagles, but too much Eric Barber from the Buccaneers. And I think it's taken him a while to get used to the pace of NBL 1 coming down from Darwin. But a three-point victory for them, for the Bucks on the road, is excellent. And, you know, that sort of gets them up and about and hopefully feeling good about a few more weeks left in the season.
While the next result is not necessarily a surprise, maybe the scoreline is a bit of a surprise, with the Mandurah Magic just getting over the Willetton Tigers. But the low-scoring nature of this game, 65-62, probably speaks a bit to some of the outs once again for the Tigers as well.
You wouldn't have predicted this, thinking that Jeremy Grace and Scott Machado are in this one. And given that the Tigers didn't have Damian Scott or Michael Vigor, Damian Scott's had a little bit of a knee surgery clean-up there, so not sure how long he'll be out for. But yeah, very low scoring, and perhaps if anything, good signs for the Tigers that they can be so competitive against this Mandurah Magic outfit with Scott and Vigor still to return.
It was a big win for the Rockingham Flames when they travelled up to the Goldfields, getting that result 96-60.
Yeah, and look, the Flames are starting to hit their straps as well. A couple of big ins for them, as we know, Greg. I don't think Tom Jervis travelled up for this one, but the Goldfields Giants, you know, they recruited heavily over the off-season to bolster the boys from the West Coast Classic, and it just doesn't seem to be clicking for them. They just haven't been able to put consistent performances together, and for them to be not getting the results on their home court, that's normally one of the most vaunted places to go and play. For them to be losing on a consistent basis on their home court would be something that they'd be looking to try and address sooner rather than later.
Sunday midday saw a back-to-back game for the Goldfields Giants. This time they went down at home to the visiting Coburn Cougars, but put up a plucky fight with a return from Julian Passava, who didn't play in the previous night's game.
Yeah, Passava got up for his game against his former team. And look, if anyone wants to go to the NBL One West Instagram page and look at the dunk by Josh Hunt, I'm sure there will be a photo somewhere in the photo of the year competition. It was a massive dunk on the fast break. But yeah, look, again, the Giants losing on their home court, unheard of, and for a young team like the Cougars, this is only builds confidence as they surge towards the finals.
Shout out to Julian Passava for his 28 points on 3 of 6 from downtown to go alongside 10 rebounds. We hope to be speaking to Julian on next week's show, so hopefully they can sneak a win in before then as well, so he's in fine form and in good spirits when he has to talk to us. And the final game of the round saw the Warwick Senators get up, but it was no easy going against the visiting and undermanned Geraldton Buccaneers. The final score 81-76.
Not that we take anyone lightly in the league, but the Bucks would have been thinking that the Warwick Senators would have been thinking that, being a Sunday afternoon doubleheader for the Bucks, that they may have run out of legs, given that their majority of the Bucks players had played the D-League game prior to this. But yeah, to come away with only a 5-point loss just goes down to the testament of the job that Dale Joseph is doing up there. Undermanned already at the start, to lose two key veterans and then to push the reigning West Coast Classic champions to within 5 points on a doubleheader. All congratulations go to the Bucks, but the Senators again getting back into that winning column and making a push for the finals as well.
We're not far away from talking to Fleur McIntyre on the NBL One West radio show. We're going to have a look at the ladder positions and start talking about finals formats as well on the NBL One West radio show.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
This is the all-new NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West with Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge. Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Tuesdays from 2 p.m., 897 FM. Tuesday nights from 5 p.m., Radio Mama. Wednesday nights from 5 p.m., Oz Urban Radio. Thursday nights from 9 p.m. on 98.5, Sunshine FM. The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
NBL One West Radio Show, Ben and Brett with you. We're back for a bit of a league roundup, I guess we're going to call it now. All sorts of interesting snippets of information that we've got for you here. Let's check, of course, first on the men's ladder. You mentioned in the last segment the Prairie Lakes Hawks just hanging on to the top spot by the skin of their teeth ahead of the Lakeside Lightning. Everyone gunning, of course, for that top four position because that will give you the double chance in the new final format, which for that top eight, of course.
Yeah, best of ones, which, you, as we know, anyone can beat anyone at any night, but having that double chance is only going to be an advantage. But you know, looking at that ladder as it stands now, you'd say that it's probably not going to change much over the next few weeks. I would say Perry Lakes and Lakeside sort of are cemented in 1-2. How that rolls out, we won't know, but I would say one of those two teams would be in that spot at the end of the year.
Look, certainly the Senators have had patchy form, you could probably say, over the last month. They're still holding down that fourth position. The Redbacks and the Magic, I would say, have probably got surging form at the moment, and maybe the Wolves are slightly dropping off the mark a little bit, but may still get into the eight.
Yeah, well, look, as we look at that, you'd sort of look at the Senators saying it's been personnel. As the Flames, it'd be interesting to see as Jervis sort of fits into that. How many games away does he play? Does he play doubleheaders? But, you know, he's probably going to lock him into that fourth spot. Although if the Senators can get their full complement back, I think that they could also make a push there. They're only one game behind.
Yep.
For me, the conversation comes down to that last spot in the playoffs. And August the 5th, Joondalup up play the Cougars. I'll put it out there now that whoever wins that game will finish in eighth spot, and it could potentially be the first time the Wolves have missed the finals in about 10 years, which, again, given the recruiting they did and the pedigree they've got, it would be a shame for that to happen. But that's just the tail of the tape. You know, you're not going to be at the top forever. But yeah, the Cougars are playing some very good basketball. Gav Field is playing some good basketball. The Wolves just need to find out or get back to that winning way that they have done for so many years in the past.
And are you clear on how the draw works in that top eight then in terms of the double chance and so on?
I believe there's two halves to the draw. So one plays four, two plays three. And in the bottom half, five plays eight, six plays seventh. And then the winners of that bottom half play the losers in the top half. So that's my understanding of how it works. So as I said, you know, an eighth place could end up getting into our grand final, as we've seen in the history, and this time made a lot easier by it being a best of one.
Yeah, that double chance certainly helps the top four teams, so they'll be keen to get involved with that. Let's have a quick look at the women's, how that standing looks at the moment now. The Willerton Tigers are currently on top. We've spoken quite a bit throughout the year about the East Perth Eagles. They're currently sitting in second. It wasn't long ago that the Wolves were in the top spot, and they're not far off the pace in third with pretty similar records. And then I see the Flames and the Redbacks rounding out as well.
The big thing with the East Perth Eagles is their turnaround and form has been outstanding. And I think it's been, you know, great work by Blake and you know, having an outstanding import come in. And the situation is that their players are playing with that nothing to lose mentality, which is great. And they're playing free and they're able to play, again, with almost, they've got accountability, but, you know, the expectations weren't high. Suddenly we get to a final series and it is a best of one. There's going to be a lot of players in there that haven't been in that situation. So for mine, it would be a lot of work at the moment about, you know, what are we going to do when we get there? Not trying to put the cart before the horse, but mentally preparing those role players to be ready to take on that situation where if we lose this one, we're under the pump. And that can work in two ways. It could freeze them up or it could make them even go on to another higher level. So if you look at that top sort of four or five, they're really the only one that's jumped up into that finals contention that haven't been there before or been around the mark for a few years before.
I presume there's only is also eight teams in the finals for the women as well, because it means that only four teams miss out, of course, having only 12.
Yeah, look, I'm unsure of the finals format for the women.
I think it's they're probably following the same way, and it just means that at the moment, even though the Perry Lakes Hawks haven't really hit their straps as yet, they're already sitting in eighth position, and unless anything goes horribly wrong, they seem to be on a lock for the finals at least anyway. And we haven't yet mentioned about the Warwick Senators and the Coburn Cougars just sitting in sixth and seventh for the women as well.
Any team that's got an MVP candidate on it, as the Warwick Senators do, you're always going to give them a chance. And all it takes is one great game and maybe one other person to step up. And before you know it, they could be competing for a title, similar to the East Perth Eagles. And if you look at that sort of top six or seven, there's not a lot of games separating, seven wins for the Cougars and only nine wins for the East Perth Eagles. There's only two wins there that are separating those teams from those spots.
And of course, it's well publicised and well known that the winner of the competitions is going to go across to the national competition in late September, if I recall correctly, and play a pretty hectic weekend where they have a game on Friday and Saturday and then the national grand final, as I understand it, on the Sunday.
And an amazing opportunity. At clubs like the Willetton Tigers and the Joondalup Wolves have been, they're known names around the world of basketball in Australia. They competed at national championships and they've had lots of players come through. And we were just saying before, a club like the East Perth Eagles, who are really working hard to turn around a program that's probably faltered a little bit in the last few years, for them to have an opportunity to have one of their teams play on a national stage just opens up massive opportunities for them in recruiting, in sponsorship, in the notoriety of the club. It really starts to put eyes on their club and allow them to do some more good things as the seasons evolve in NBL One West.
The other thing that's pretty exciting, if you read the fine print of the way that national final is going to work, it also talks about seedings for each conference in terms of hosting the national finals in forthcoming years. So if there's a way that Western Australia or NBL One West can do really well or maybe even win the thing, then we've got a chance of hosting it in future years, which would also be pretty cool.
That is amazing. And again, those are the sorts of things that are part of being a national competition that come your way. I know when I was involved in the National Wheelchair Basketball League, every year the finals were held in a different city hosted by the team from that city. And when you do get to host a home finals, I know when we had the championships here, we were packing out Herb Graham with 500 plus people coming to watch a wheelchair basketball weekend of finals. And when you're playing in front of your home fans, it does mean a lot. And I'm sure there wouldn't just be East Perth Eagles fans there or Willetton Tigers fans there. It'd be all basketball fans would be going along and watching that.
We'll take a short break here on the NBL One West radio show. We'll be back to talk about leading candidates for the men's MVP. We've got the Foot Locker Players of the Week to announce as well in both the men's and the women's competition.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West radio show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.
Your health and welfare are important. At SKG Radiology, we know this. Take advantage of bulk billing all Medicare rebatable services across our WA practices. Some exceptions may apply, so please ask our friendly staff for more details. From x-rays to ultrasounds, low-dose CT scans and MRIs, no matter where you're referred to, when you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology. Visit skg.com.au.
Are you ready?
Are you ready?
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
NBL One West radio show, all your local basketball action. Brett Costello and Ben Ettridge with you. Now, a little bit later on, Ben, I'm going to ask Fleur McIntyre about the leading candidates for the women's MVP. Have you got any thoughts on the men's side? Who's kind of really stood up and has played enough games to actually be considered in the mix for the MVP?
I've probably got it narrowed down to a top three. And again, it's probably not some names that we've heard mentioned in these conversations in the past. But the first one for me is Lewis Timms. I think he's done an amazing job at the Redbacks. He's gone there. He's managed to put together a full season. He's normally been hampered by injury and had to miss some games. Even when the Redbacks were a little bit off at the start, he was still getting the job done, and now they're winning. He's still getting the job done. So I'd put him at the top of my table. The second one would be Jay Bowie. I think he's been phenomenal for the Lightning and their engine room. And if you look at someone who's at the top of the table and doing really, really good things, it would be Jay. And he seems to be the one that really gets them over the line when they need it. And third would be my guy, who I picked, or when I say my guy, the guy that I picked last year as the MVP of the West Coast Classic, even though we didn't announce it. I think Damien Scott is had a great season. I know he's missed a few games, which might hurt him. But if you look at what the way he's evolved his game to become a real leader, maybe getting out of the shadow of a Kyle Armour and those sorts of guys that have been there, and he's really shown and led the way for Adam Nina's boys there. And I think he's been really important. And in the big games they've won, Damien Scott's done the job for them. So I'd sort of have those three as my top three.
My concern on Jay Bowie would be the same thing that you mentioned. He's been a bit in and out. So he's certainly in the games that he's been available, he's been sensational. But has he had enough consistency to get those votes, I wonder, and get him over the line?
Yeah, it's a funny thing, the NBL One West or SBL voting system. So, it's just, again, it comes down to, have they done enough when they're there? But for me, those would be the three guys that I'd be looking at.
Well, looking at the Foot Locker Players of the Week for the round just gone by, we spoke earlier about that massive stat line from Mary Goulding. That has caused her to be winning of the $200 gift voucher from Foot Locker. That was 35 points, 17 rebounds, 5 assists, and if I recall correctly, a handful of steals as well in a win against the Eastern Suns.
Yeah, no, absolute stat sheet stuffer. Got to watch her firsthand and can finish off both feet, plays inside, outside, and actually, a great defender. Does everything you want to do at the other end of the floor. So a worthy winner of the Foot Locker Player of the Week.
And for the men, it's actually Gavin Field for the Coburn Cougars. He had a couple of games that were perhaps quieter by his standard, but this weekend he went mental against the Southwest Slammers. He got 19 points and 7 rebounds, but then it was a 35 point and 7 rebound game against the Goldfield Giants.
You're not going to hold a good man down, and Gavin Field is starting to find his form. I know he was a little bit frustrated early on with a few things and the losses, which is only what you're going to get from a champion. They don't like that sort of thing, and he's really started to, as Gav does, he didn't make it outwardly known, but he's now putting up those numbers that we know he can.
Notable mentions, or we can maybe call it slightly hard done by, Lee Roberts, 25 points and 15 and 27 points and 12, also had a really big weekend. He could have possibly staked a claim. Katorna Hargrave, 32 and 8. Ferg with a double-double, 20 and 11. Machado, 21, 5 and 5. And Justin Beard, 21, 10 and 5. All doing big things.
And having seen Lee Roberts' shoe collection, I'm sure he's not going to miss out on a new pair of Jordans from Foot Locker. So, yeah, I don't think he'll miss that one too much.
Looking around the league at upcoming milestones, assuming that she's playing this weekend, but Flames Championship captain Chelsea Petrick is due to play her 300th game, possibly this weekend or whenever she's next hitting the court, at least anyway.
Yeah, 300 games at any level is amazing, and congratulations there.
Now, a bit of news, I understand, as well, out of the Kalamunda Eastern Suns camp, a late-season signing.
Yeah, look, we've sort of been looking around for a while, and just with a few things that have happened, haven't been able to get someone on the roster to help the boys up there. But we've managed to secure the services of a New Zealand point guard, Joe Cook-Green, who's coming across from the Canterbury Rams. And under the guidance of Mick Downer over there, we've sort of been given the intel that we're getting a sort of a young Mitch Norton coming over that's going to sort of help us in the backcourt and provide he's only a young guy, but he's played at a very high level. He's in the Tall Blacks squad and has played junior representative for New Zealand all the way along. So we're getting a bit of a leader in the backcourt and someone that we're hoping to slot into the lineup very soon, if not Thursday, definitely by Saturday, and just sort of bolster that backcourt for us and looking for him to do some good things.
So for those who wouldn't know, that Canterbury side is essentially the New Zealand version of the NBL. That's their national league.
Yeah, so he's a full-time basketball over there and looking to, ply his trade 12 months of the year, and the opportunities popped up that he's able to come across, and hopefully going to build that rapport with him and we become an option or a destination sort of choice for him in 2022.
Given that he may struggle to get the right number of games to qualify for the finals, assuming that the Suns could make a run into the finals positions as well, it's perhaps a bit more of a try before you buy and a future signing in some ways as well.
Yeah, most definitely. And I, when we had the discussions, I said to Mark, it's similar to a situation when we had opportunities sometimes to have Greg Hire come back and play at the Wolves or Brad Robbins. It's you're putting quality guys who've got a work ethic, got some experience around your younger players. So we'd be looking to him to spend some time with our under 20s and our D League boys and just impart some knowledge, which is what we've been told that's the type of guy he is. And if we can build that rapport with him and he enjoys being around our group and we can have some success, then we'd be definitely looking to maybe make that get that pen to paper for next year as well.
We'll take a short break and we'll be back on the other side to speak with Fleur McIntyre and share her big news with us, if you haven't already heard, about a massive assistant coach signing for her. It's the NBL One West radio show.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. When you depend on the right result, choose SKG Radiology, providing bulk billed Medicare rebatable services at all 20 locations. This is the all-new NBL One West Radio Show.
It's the NBL One West Radio Show, Brett and Ben with you. And as promised, we're joined with my favourite friend of the show and a lady who's got some big news that's come out across the last week or so, and a Cockburn legend, Fleur McIntyre. Welcome along to the show.
Hi, guys. Thanks again for having me on.
Excellent. A pleasure, and always good to have you on and hear from you. But this time, it's even more important than usual for anyone who may have been under a rock and has not already heard. You've, of course, been appointed to one of the assistant coach roles over there at the Sydney Kings. Tell us more about this, and how did this opportunity come about?
Yeah, it's been a little bit of a whirlwind, to be honest, in the last 3 weeks. It was a Thursday, and I had a missed call on a voicemail on my phone from Luke Longley, and I was thinking, and he asked me to give him a call, and I did, and yeah, he obviously is a consultant for the Sydney Kings organisation, and was sort of saying to me they were about to appoint their new head coach, and he had to pull together a bit of a short list of potential applicants for the organisation, and if I was interested in applying. So after I kind of picked my drawer up off the floor, I said that I was, and it sort of just went from there. So I went through the interview processes and spoke to, you know, one of the owners in Paul Smith, the CEO and Chris Pongrass, and then obviously interviewed with Chase Buford, the new head coach. And yeah, found out probably 2 weeks ago now that I'd gotten the job. So yeah, it's been really exciting. A little bit nervous, but that's okay. I'm really excited to go and give it a crack.
Yeah, just an amazing story, and I love stories of where people are sort of throwing themselves in the deep end a little bit and a bit out of their comfort zone. And look, you've got lots of experience coaching at this level. What is it that excites you about going up to being actually a full-time basketball coach with a fully professional organisation?
Yeah, it's really weird, Ben. You probably know as well, just the thought of that it's your job. You do it, you know, you're 9 to 5 hours, and of course we both know that goes beyond that in terms of the hours. But yeah, I'm really excited to work with professional athletes. I think obviously at the NBL One West level, a little bit different because everyone there is, you know, basketball is their pastime and their outlet a little bit, apart from their job. So I'm really excited to kind of work with the guys in terms of, you know, this is their job, but where do they want to go in terms of helping them achieve their goals and dreams? So I'm really excited to be able to work as well with an entire coaching staff and high performance programs, and hopefully, you know, some of my expertise in exercise sports science may be able to tie in, and I'll learn some things from them, and perhaps I can help them along the way as well.
Did you know much of Chase Buford and his sort of coaching story before you were considered for the opportunity?
I didn't, and I did a lot of research before my... obviously, I know who his father is.
Yes.
Obviously, he's quite famous in the States in terms of his work as the GM or executive for the San Antonio Spurs. But obviously, when Chase was appointed, I went and did a lot of research, and I actually watched a lot of his G League team, the Wisconsin Herd. I watched a lot of their games and sort of really tried to understand their style of play, which I'm probably, you know, obviously it's a different level and a different league, but quite familiar with, because obviously I've coached with Andrew Cooper for the better part of the last 5 years, and he's quite similar in his systems and style of play and how he likes to play. So I think that probably helped me in quite good stead when I was sort of watching their style and how they went about it. And then obviously I reached out to some contacts that I had in the States as well, because, you know, if you're going to move your life halfway across the country, you want to know a little bit more about the individual and as a human being. And yeah, everything so far, he's been absolutely amazing to deal with, and I'm really, really excited to go and learn from him.
And as you just were sort of touching on, you know, the level is a different level, and it's going to become, you know, all-consuming and all that sort of stuff. You know, where do you fit into their coaching staff? What area are you going to be in control of, and you know, what's that spin that you think you can put on it?
Yeah, we just actually had a Zoom on Saturday morning, and it was myself, Chase, Kevin Leash, and Lockie Lonergan, who's our video sort of third assistant as well, and sort of looking at roles and dissecting that. Obviously, Chase, trying to get hold of Chase at the moment is a little bit difficult because he's actually with the Bucks in the NBA Finals.
All right, yep.
And he was preparing for the next game. So he looks as though he hasn't slept in 3 weeks, uh-huh, as he prepares to move halfway across the world, organise a roster and try and get the Bucks a title. But yeah, Ben, we discussed it a little bit on Saturday, and I think My role, essentially, I think everyone obviously is going to be able to contribute in all areas and across different areas. To start with, I'm really going to focus on player development, and working with the players individually and where they want to go and setting their, you know, working with them to set their goals, not just on court but off court as well. So I guess my experience at, you know, in the outside world, not just operating in the basketball bubble, might come in handy there. So that's essentially going to be sort of my role to start. I don't think at the moment it would be split that, you know, one of us is taking offense and one of us would be doing defense, but that might evolve as we kind of go along and head towards the season.
I sense that he'd probably be quite reliant on the likes of yourself and Kevin Lish, who you mentioned as well, just for the knowledge of the lay of the land and the local players and all that sort of thing, because he's going to be coming in fresh from overseas. So I'm sure it'll be working both ways.
Yeah, and look, he's spending a lot of time watching film. So, you know, we're sort of in discussions at the moment of how our roster's going to look and different free agents. So, yeah, they're sort of ongoing discussions. And, I mean, even just the rule changes, like... To the G League and the NBA, I mean, the rules are completely different. You know, we see it at the moment with the FIBA games going on and the USA having to adjust to the lack of space because you're allowed to sit in the key and off ball and all those sort of things. And even timeout rules, you know, you can't call a timeout from the floor over here as opposed to in the NBA. So I think that whole thing will be a little bit of adjustment for Chase coming over, but hopefully we can help him in that respect and sort of explain, you know, the differences and sort of get used to the different style and the rules over here.
So in terms of you personally, what's the kind of timeline in terms of the relocation over to Sydney, and when do you need to be heading that way and getting organised?
It's a very good question. I am currently still procrastinating packing up my house, so I feel like I need a deadline so that I'll kick myself into gear. Obviously, with COVID and lockdown happening at the moment, I'm playing Havoc. The plan was originally that we would be on court early August just to sort of get up and down, but obviously at the moment that might get pushed a little bit. I think that we'll sort of, we were planning to start sort of official kind of training camp mid-August. So that's sort of the plan at the moment, but I am yet to sort of find out a definitive date of when that might occur. Sure. But I really do need that because I'm thinking I may need a bit of a push to start packing up my house.
It feels like another angle for West Australians where someone out there knows about our league, knows about the quality of the NBL One West, because, of course, we've had Adam Ford already in head coaching roles at Kings and now at Cairns, and people like yourself out there now as well, Scott Roth over in Tassie as well. So there's plenty of people who've got that West Australian connection at least now anyway.
And I think that's really exciting. I think a lot of the time we probably do feel a little bit isolated over here. And even, you know, like I think it's really important to have someone that can push, you know, WA kids' names forward as well to know that there's opportunities out there. And perhaps those kids haven't been noticed at a national level yet or, you know, that professional level because they're not on the East Coast and they're not seen as much from other clubs. So, no, I'm really excited to, you know, proud West Australian to be able to go and fly the flag over there.
Yeah, no, just absolutely amazing. You know, great opportunity, and I'm sure that you will be absolutely amazing at it. And the Sydney Kings have got themselves a very, very good coach. I know that firsthand. So wishing you all the best.
Thank you so much, guys. I've been absolutely blown away by the amount of messages of support I've received. So, yeah, I feel very, very grateful, and I'm so appreciative of your support and you know, wishing me luck. It means the world.
Fleur, we're going to ask you to stick around because after the break we'll have a look at some local basketball action, get your input into the forthcoming Round 15 women action here in the NBL One West.
The SKG Radiology, official NBL One West radio show. All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
Welcome back. It is the NBL One West radio show. We're still on the line with Fleur McIntyre. Before she heads out to Sydney for this Kings gig, we're going to have a look at what's happening in Round 15 action for the NBL One West women. It actually kicks off on Thursday night, bit of a couple of makeup games. In fact, the Warwick Senators are going to be hosting the Rockingham Flames up there in Warwick. Have you got any thoughts on that one and the fiery form of Stacey Barr in recent months?
Yeah, I mean, Stacey Barr's been in incredible form. She is a flat-out scorer and she's renowned for that. I don't think Warwick will be particularly happy defensively how they were last week. You know, they gave up, I think it was 92 points to Wanneroo. So I think that'll probably be a huge focus for them coming up against the Flames this week. Mm. And obviously for the Flames, you know, Stacey Barr's got to be a focus for them. Trying to get the ball out of her hands and whether they're going to mix up defensively, how they guard her. I've been really interested to see how different teams are trying to guard Stacey Barr. I found a lot of them are just playing her straight up. So I'd be quite interested to look at, you know, Ben might want to weigh in here in terms of just looking at a different scheme to try and get the ball out of their hands as such.
I don't think anyone's had the magic answer yet, have they? But I'll let Ben answer.
Yeah, look, I think, you know, when you've got someone like that, it's a case of how do you get the ball out of their hands, but then everything is designed to get the ball back into their hands. So it takes you've got to be really locked in, and you've, sometimes it can just take one person that can have that sole mindset. It's usually someone that sits about 7th or 8th on your bench that doesn't get a lot of time, and you can just send them out and just say, you do not let that person touch the ball, and they take that role on. So it might take something like that, just someone that's been sitting there waiting for that opportunity, because most of the time you are designing things to get the ball back into their hands when they are when it's taken away.
The Eastern Suns also on Thursday night, they're hosting the Lakeside Lightning. Both these teams, I feel, would be looking like this could be one that they'd be wanting to get.
I think this will be quite a close game. Obviously, both teams are coming off losses from this last weekend. So I think this will be a fairly close game. Lakeside have actually, I mean, they weren't, you know, I know that they had two losses last weekend, but I feel like they've turned a bit of a corner in terms of how they're playing. And I feel like some good things are sort of happening there with that particular young group. I kind of like what Dave Daniels is building there with some of the youth that he's looking to build around.
Following up from that one, we've got the Perry Lakes Hawks taking on the Willetton Tigers, a top of the table sort of clash, if you will.
I obviously was able to watch Willetton play Mandurah last Saturday night, and they looked very, very good. I think that it's almost the contrasting styles a little bit. Willetton are very, very quick. The ball moves very quickly and they get up and down. Alex Sharp is just such an absolute talent. She's such a pleasure to watch. So I think it'll definitely be a contrasting style, probably against Perry Lakes with those bigs and how they're going to match up on Sharp and counter the outside shooting of the Willetton Tigers, because they shot it very well on Saturday night against Mandurah.
I feel like Ben was being kind to the Perry Lakes Hawks there, because they may have top of the ladder aspirations and potential, but they certainly haven't always been performing at that level, to be fair. I'm not sure if you were thinking of the men, were you?
Maybe I was, yeah. Maybe
you were. Look, I've certainly been calling it the big three at Willetton. The likes of Lubke, Sharp and Gandini have always been sort of in that top three scorers and rebounders for Willetton, and they're really looking very strong this season. The Lakeside Lightning also on the Friday night will be hosting the Joondalup Wolves. So back-to-back games Thursday, Friday for the Lightning this week.
And this will be a tough one. Joondalup had a really good win against Warwick last weekend. Kayla Steindl doing Kayla Steindl things and putting up 30. So again, I should be a focal point for Lakeside to try and get hold of and shut down. But I think Wolves will get this one comfortably.
You'd think so. We were talking about a little bit earlier that they've also added back in Jasmine Martin as well. And although she had a quiet start sort of easing her way in, she'll be a welcome addition as well.
Just add some more depth to that guard rotation. And yeah, she's a really handy pickup for them.
Definitely. Also on the Friday night, the Rockingham Flames hosting the Southwest Slammers. Still lacking that scoring punch, the Southwest Slammers in that young group. And you'd imagine that they won't be any match for the Flames.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think Rockingham have just been quietly going. They're probably the ones that I looked at the ladder today and I was actually surprised to sort of see, you know, how high Rockingham are actually sitting on the ladder. And I think they've probably been a little bit overlooked, you know, against your Joondalups and your Willettons. So, yeah, I think that they will take care of business against the Slammers, absolutely.
Friday night sees the Cougars taking on the Senators, and I know Tyrone Thwaites has built a team down there that he's got, again, some title aspirations with. Where do you see this one going?
This will be a tough one. I actually think this is a good test for both teams to see where they sit in terms of finals aspirations. I know that, obviously, Coburn have slipped, you know, the last couple of weeks. They had a nice win against Slammers. But this, I think, will be a real test for them to see where they sit. I think at home, I'll show my loyalty here and I'll pick a Coburn victory.
All right. It's a massive weekend with plenty of games for all teams, and it's the second game of the weekend for both of these teams on Saturday night, 5 p.m. tip-off for the women up there at HBF Arena as the Wolves host the visiting Perry Lakes Hawks.
Again, I think that Wanneroo will get this. I do feel like it will be close. I feel like Perry Lakes have been building a little bit more, whether it's just because they've had some players come back. But I feel like Wanneroo are in some pretty good form, and I feel like they should be able to take care of Perry Lakes on this occasion.
Following on from that, the East Perth Eagles are in some rarefied air for them over the last few years, sitting second on the ladder, and they're taking on the Warwick Senators. I watched East Perth against our girls last weekend, and again, very well drilled in the fourth quarter. That's when they really asserted their dominance and just sort of took the game away. It was close, but they were very good down the stretch.
And Mary Goulding's she's just an absolute pleasure to watch on a basketball court.
Yep.
You know, her numbers last weekend were absolutely ridiculous. She finishes very well off both sides, shoots the ball well, and rebounds. Had 17 rebounds last weekend. So I think East Perth will get this one.
Also on the Saturday night, 5 p.m. tip-off as well, the Willerton Tigers will host the Coburn Cougars. Again, multiple games across the weekend for all of these teams.
I was able to watch the first game between these two earlier in the season that was hosted, obviously, by Coburn. And it was close for a lot of the game before Willerton sort of put their foot down. Coburn struggled to get hold of them in transition, which tends to be a bit of the issue with trying to guard Willerton. And I think that'll still probably... I think Willerton's depth and overall talent will probably be too much for Coburn.
And the final game of the round, Eastern Suns taking on the Mandurah Magic. Two teams with equal records on the ladder, only separated by percentage in those positions.
Yeah, again, I watched Mandurah on Saturday night as part of Casey Milo's 502nd game in the NBL One West.
Spread the joy.
And look, I've watched Mandurah obviously a couple of times this year, and I think defensively they're around about the mark. They tend to be able to hold teams well enough, but they just struggle to put enough points on the board. And Saturday night was no different. You know, they get some good looks, but they're not able to reward themselves on the scoreboard and able to keep that scoreboard pressure on teams consistently. So hopefully they can build on that a little bit and have a little bit of a change in fortune in their ability to shoot the ball on Saturday night. But I think it's going to be a tough ask up at Rayon. Always a tough place to play. Well, I found it always a tough place to play.
Very cold. It's very cold up there. I'll just throw that in there.
And I used to think, is it because we're up in the hills, I can't breathe properly? But perhaps that was more of a reflection on my fitness.
No, and it's a tin shed. That doesn't help. So, yeah, anyway.
Now, Fleur, I've got one more question for you before we go. As of last week, I started trying to round out a bit of a top five MVP candidate list for the women. Now, I apologise if I leave anyone out, but this is where I'd like your input. On my list, at least anyway, I've got the likes of Dyer, Lubke, Goulding, Steindl and Barr. Really stamping any sort of an opportunity on an MVP could go any way. All of those girls would certainly be very worthy. Is there anyone else who's been on your radar or perhaps one of those girls who've stood out to you?
Yeah, look, to be honest, Brett, I think you've absolutely nailed it. Probably those five for me. I think people sort of pushing on the door. I think Taylor Simmons has done a really nice job at Coburn, and that's probably because I've seen them play, you know, a little bit more as well. But I think, you know, the five that you've listed have been absolutely exceptional.
Will you give me a top two out of those? Am I putting you on the spot?
Yeah, no, that's okay. You can put me on the spot. For me, it's Goulding and Sharp. They're my top two.
Okay.
I think Sharp will probably have people, you know, Lubke will come in and probably take votes off her in some games.
Yes.
I think that will probably affect her votes. But for me, watching the competition this year, for me, they're the two best players in the competition.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your input on that marathon round that we're looking forward to on the weekend. And of course, once again, good luck in your pursuits in Sydney. We look forward to keeping in contact.
Thanks heaps, guys. Good to talk to you both as always.
Thanks very much, Fleur.
Good luck with everything.
Bye.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews from the NBL One West.
At SKG Radiology, we care about your health and welfare. This is why we bulk bill Medicare rebatable services across all 20 SKG locations. Some exceptions may apply. Ask our friendly staff for details. Visit skg.com.au.
All the local basketball action, roundups, and reviews. This is the all-new NBL One West radio show.
back to round things out here on the NBL One West Radio Show. But before we do, our ever-popular segment, Lost SBL, was our local competition for 30 years between 1989 to 2019. And this week, we're up to the year 2000 as we brought in the new millennium. And the Geraldton Buccaneers were able to defeat the Lakeside Lightning in the grand final for the men, 96-76.
Yeah, the Bucks finally got their championship that they were looking for Dan Hunt. And a sign of things to come for the Lakeside Lightning, making their first grand final since coming into the league and setting them up for success, so much success that they had through the 2000s.
2000 was the first year that the league didn't have a team from Albany, and there was a big split into a conference situation sponsored by Sky West at that time. So we had the Sky Conference and the West Conference, as you do when you're trying to look after your sponsor at that time.
Yep, and very interesting to play in that season and the way it was broken up and the different times you played people. But yeah, something different, and I guess we're back into that now with our two conferences that we have now in NBL One West.
The men's SBL most valuable player that year in 2000 was Anthony Exeter.
Yeah, the late, great Anthony Exeter, one of my favourite teammates of all time. Sadly, no longer with us, but he's forever remembered in the Anthony Exeter Cup played between the Redbacks and the Flames, the two teams that he played on. A versatile forward, inside-out game, had a little stint with the Canberra Cannons, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find anyone that didn't enjoy having the X-Man around on their team. So, one of those Australians, as we said last week, a run of Australians winning MVP in the SBL at that stage.
Mike Ellis was actually the men's coach of the year in 2000.
Yeah, again, Mike's first stint as the head coach of the Senators. Fairly certain Cody wasn't playing then. But yeah, look, yeah, Mike winning Coach of the Year with the Senators in that year, a sort of a look into the future as to where he was going to be in 2019 and 2020 with the Senators.
On the women's side of life, the Fairy Lakes Hawks were the minor season premiers, but they went down in the grand final to the Redbacks, 74-66.
Yeah, and a 20-0 season there for the Hawks, and Rick Morcombe again sort of getting those girls up and firing, but unlucky to lose that final to the Redbacks.
On the back of that season, Rick Morcombe took out his second back-to-back Coach of the Year award. And the women's MVP for 2000 was Megan Clark.
Yeah, a very nice shooting, high-scoring forward for the Whitland Tigers.
Next week, we'll continue our look at Lost SBL with the 2001 season. Can the Hawks women make amends for being the bridesmaid for the last couple of years and finally tick off a championship? And in the men's, maybe things are leading towards the Perry Lakes Hawks as well. 2001, you have to tune in next week to find out more. Well, as we round things out, we've already told you a very busy weekend as the forthcoming rounds have got at least a couple of extra games wedged into each of them, and people can check them out at mbo1.com.au.
Yeah, very busy schedule as we head into the back end, just making up for lost time, which, again, we're very fortunate to have basketball on the table, and the more we can play, the better it is.
Only a few rounds left to go now as we're leading into round 15 of 18, but plenty of action, even some midweek games, Thursday nights. We've got a Tuesday night, a couple of other Thursday nights coming up as well. Plenty to see.
Yeah, and I think at this stage of the year too, I think guys would much rather be playing games, and girls as well, playing games than actually going to practice. There's a little bit more motivation to lace them up and run up and down for 40 minutes than have a coach yell and scream at you for 2 hours. So
we're not far away from the Boomers getting underway at Tokyo, of course, as well.
Yeah, that's just around the corner. And as we sort of spoke to Fleur about earlier, the number of players or coaches from the SBL and NBL One jumping up, Jacob Chance, Luke Brennan, Adam Ford, and now Fleur. And we don't have to look much further than the Boomers coaching staff to see Adam Caporn sitting on the bench as an assistant coach who cut his teeth with the Rockingham Flames and the Mandurah Magic in the SBL.
And he's also going to be coaching in the G League now as well, I understand.
Yes, yep, just signed on as the head coach of the Long Island Nets in the NBA G League, so big things coming for Adam.
Can you see any more late season signings in the NBL One West, or do you think that horse is starting to bolt a little bit now given the number of games remaining for people to qualify for the finals?
Yeah, given that we're sort of over that two-thirds mark and teams or players need to play that a third of the season to qualify, I think a situation like ours is a little bit different, but I think now the rosters are pretty set, and unless it's someone coming back from an injury, I'd be very, very surprised to see any of the, especially the top sort of four teams, adding someone at this late stage. Just might upset their chemistry heading into finals.
Well, thank you as always, Ben. I guess we're just about done on this week's edition of the NBL One West Radio Show.
Yep, no, great. Once again, as I said at the start, basketball is first and foremost in everyone's mind at the moment with everything's going on, and hopefully we can get through the rest of the season unscathed and no more lockdowns or anything like that, so we can eventually get to that crowning of the national champion.
You can check out all the action over at nbl1.com.au/west or download the NBL app and then search to NBL One West men or women to stream all of the games or to get around to your local stadium or association. All the information is there for you. Don't forget you can check out our podcast edition, of course, on all of the usual podcast providers: Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn and Podomatic. Until next week, from Ben Ettridge and Brett Costello, take it easy and have a good one.
Missed a part of the show or wanting more? Check the NBL One West Radio Show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Podbean, and Podomatic. Listen or download in your own time and check out the podcast exclusives for more.